your number one station, your official station.
You're listening to The Itch. My name is Casey.
My name is Dan.
And I'm Aaron. And this week, we are scratching the itch to go from one tradition to the next, apparently, as we finally finished our Shiprocked coverage, which was year two in a row. And we're going right into March Madness. And this is year four for that. I don't know if you guys can tally backwards all the way our previous winners, but here we are.
I can't. And it's because they've all turned into some really good relationships with those bands, and you know that has me excited for this year. So I know last year was Taproot, which amounted to two interviews and us driving up to not Detroit necessarily, but near Detroit to go see them live for their album debut party, and that was just an incredible experience. And the year before that was Cam Cole, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which unfortunately I did not get a chance to see him live, but still led to an incredible interview. You guys got a chance to see him live up in Chicago. It was just an awesome, awesome year. He had a lot of interactions from his fans. And the first winner, I can not forget, of course, it was Nonpoint. And that has just been awesome, like amazing. That's like been the best thing for our show ever. So
that's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yes.
Is being connected to Nonpoint. And so this year we stacked a new field with artists that we, as Dan noted, are excited about the potential of where things could go. Now, for those who are not familiar, March Madness, we call it a St. Louis rock radio tradition. And in the past, we've had various criteria for why we selected who we selected. And it is a tournament coinciding with the NCAA's March Madness, where we put these acts up to a vote. You pick your favorite, and we promise an episode about that artist. We never historically promise an interview because we can't guarantee that it'll happen, but we're 3 for 3 so far. And I, based on the options for this one, I excluded the one band I was sure we couldn't get an interview with for this year. So I think our odds are good.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah. So what we did was this year, whenever we were going through our top 20 albums of last year, we found that there were 9 artists on there that we have not spoken with yet, which is kind of cool because it means that over half of the artists from last year we actually had spoken with. One of those was Metallica. And as much as I believe in our power to make things happen, I'm not that confident yet. So we're going to put them to the side for right now.
Yeah, my kids would be disappointed. They keep judging me by my level of interviews. Like, I can't get Metallica, I can't get Papa Roach. Like, what good am I?
Right. Eventually.
We'll just have to have Miles and Lane back as a substitute if they won.
Yeah. So we excluded Metallica, and that left us with 8 artists who had albums in last year's top 20 that we haven't spoken with yet. And so we're excited because no matter who wins, we all win because we're big fans of all of these artists.
Yeah.
I think it's funny because if you think about the last 3 years, like, we've pretty much become friends with the bands, the management of the bands. So that's it, friends. We just need help getting more friends. We need your help deciding on who our next friends are going to be.
Apparently that's what the itch is about. It's making friends.
Friendship.
We don't have enough friends.
It's the most friendship-based rock podcast around.
That's right. We're just looking for more friends. That's all.
Well, to be honest, the first act, I'm going to swing it over to you guys to announce the field for us. But the first act is somebody that we've actually already started kind of making friends with. And I'm pretty excited about that. And I have high hopes for them.
Yeah.
Entry number one. No, sorry.
The first entrant. The first entrant in our field of 8 is Tiger Cub. Their hometown is Brighton, England. Their musical style is alternative rock. Most streamed song is Control. And their 2023 album was The Perfume of Decay, which came in at number 7 on our top 20. And it's the only act in the field with a legit 7-footer giving them an extreme advantage in the paint.
That's right. Those other teams are going to have to shoot 3s because you're not getting past Jamie.
I don't even know if you could shoot a three past him.
That's a good point.
Stand up there and block the net. Our next entry is from London, England, with their 2023 album Venom. Coming in at number 9 on our 2023 list is Wargasm UK. They have a weird style that we'd like to refer to as electropunk or new metal. Their most streamed song is Spit, and they are the only act in the field to have Fred Durst as a feature. And we also technically have a connection with them as I pestered them at the bar several times on Shiprock 2023.
So it's always good to make a great first impression, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, I was nice about it. I was telling them how awesome they were live. So
yeah.
Our next entry from Los Angeles, California, with their 2023 album Prepare for Despair, coming in at number 11, Point North. They have an alternative pop rock style that's kind of coming into fashion right now. And their most streamed song is Hammer. And they have been one of mine and Hannah's favorites in the last year. And despite their name, they're actually from the West.
I don't know if y'all knew that.
So maybe
Point
no,
North
I didn't.
Is from the West.
I always thought they were from like Minnesota or something.
The name is distracting. It'll steer you wrong.
Now yeah. I want to know why the name is Point North. I'm gonna have to look that up.
Fair question.
Or you just ask them if they win.
Yeah.
Speaking of artists who are from the North.
Yes. Yes. Next up we have Jutes. And the 2023 album was Ladybug, coming in at number 12 on our countdown. Hometown is Toronto, Canada. The style is alt rock, also a little bit of rap. Most streamed song is Start Over, and he's the most surprising entrant, as we barely talk about him, but might have the highest ceiling for mainstream success, given his relationship with Demi Lovato.
So are we saying he's going to be popular because he's dating Demi Lovato?
Yeah.
He's the most, of these artists, he's the one that's, besides maybe Mammoth, he's the one that's got the most like public eye potential.
Ah, I gotcha. And coming in next, Mammoth WVH from Los Angeles, California. 2023 album Mammoth 2 was number 13 on our list. His most streamed song is Don't Back Down. And honestly, he basically looks like if The Itch were combined into one person.
It's true.
That's a fact.
It's 100% true.
If we had a picture taken with him, you wouldn't be able to tell which one of us was Mammoth and which ones were The Itch.
You'd like go in order of like us just morphing into him.
It's like the
old Animorph book cover.
Yeah.
The evolution yeah. posters.
Yes, yes.
It just goes from us, turns into Mammoth. As a side note, Mammoth is also the first ever repeat entrant. I was very proud of myself that, not even necessarily intentionally, but just kind of how things shook out, the first 3 years had entirely different fields of artists every year. And this year, Mammoth is making his return on account of Metallica being unattainable. So their loss is his gain.
I'm sure he's definitely excited.
He better be.
All right. Next up in the field, we have Seven Dust from Atlanta, Georgia. Their 2023 album Truth Killer came in at number 14. Their style is hard rock, alt metal, new metal. And the most streamed song is Denial. The most veteran act in the field, and it's been a wish list guest since we started the show.
And fun fact, they probably have more albums than everybody on this list combined.
That is almost certainly true. It's good to have a veteran presence in the squad, you know?
Yes. Our next entry is from our hometown of St. Louis, Missouri. They became our hometown heroes last year. they put out an album called Monolithic Hieroglyphic, and it was so awesome that we actually had it at number 16 on our list of top 20. It's reggae rock, a little punk mixed in with that. Their most streamed song is List of My Demands, and they are the possible underdogs, but they absolutely deserve their spot in this. And like we said, they're our hometown boys.
And finally, rounding out the field, we have Otherwise from Las Vegas, Nevada. Their 2023 album, Godzillionaire, came in at number 19 on our top 20 list. Style is hard rock, alt metal, post grunge. And their most streamed song is Soldier. And they cycle through band members like the Tour de France.
Maybe that's to their advantage. Maybe they found a combination that worked with Godzillionaire. I don't know.
Here's hoping.
Here's hoping. Here's hoping we can talk to somebody if they win.
Hey,
we have to figure out who's in the band.
Hopefully we talk to all of these artists. How about that?
I'm down for that no matter what happens, to be quite frank.
Yeah, I agreed.
This is fun every year because you can never entirely predict how it's going to go. A lot of times what makes or breaks any given vote, because we'll put this out on the socials and in the show notes for people, is if an artist themselves interacts with it. Usually that goes a long way towards their chances. So we shall see.
I agree, because I think that's been the situation that all those artists kind of championed themselves and
exactly.
They rallied their troops.
Yeah.
Took down the necessary villains. No, I'm just joking.
Yeah, really, this is a social media experiment, if nothing else.
It is.
It's a high school popularity contest all over again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when this goes live, as I mentioned, you will have a link in the show notes of where to vote. That will all be live and available. We'll have the first round. We'll go through it fairly quick and we'll see what happens. So yeah, let us know. And you know, voting is also based on your own criteria. Who do you like the best in general? Which of these albums did you listen to and prefer the most? Who do you think would be the most interesting interview for The Itch? Whatever your rationale is, it's fine. Just get out there and make stuff happen.
Yeah.
Who do we need to be friends with next? You know, these are all tough questions.
Who do we need to be friends with? Oh, boy. All right. All that said, another fun fact and a little extra bonus for Mammoth. And not only is he our first repeat, but Dan and Casey got to see him live for the first time on Itchiversary Eve.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it was exciting. So I kind of want to start off by saying that you know, we talk about the Red Flag a lot, and I don't know what's going on with that place, but like, I'm tired of it saying like doors open at such and such time and like the doors don't open at such and such time. Like, that's becoming a real issue with a lot of venues, and it's pissing me off, to be honest. And I just wanted to throw that out there because I have a lot of respect for Red Flag. They bring in a lot of great artists. But like, you got to get people in the fucking door. Like, I don't know why that's so hard. I don't want to be sitting outside when the band starts.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody does. No. So
thankfully, there was only two acts on this bill. So that didn't really cause too much of an issue. However, yeah, the line was super long. It wrapped around the building, like
around the block.
All the way around. And they also need to hire more people to pat people down and let them in.
Yeah. But at least just like at the beginning of it, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was really nice that there was only two acts, because I think that they realized that the line was long. The doors opened. They were supposed to open at 6:30. The show was supposed to start at 7:30. But somebody mentioned it too, and I think we've also seen this or have heard stories of it, that the VIP went longer than expected. And I think that might have been the case, because we walked up the other side, around the other side of the building where they usually park the buses, and there was a line there. And usually they don't let people line up there unless it's for the VIP line. So that was my guess, is that VIP was going on until 6, and that's why doors didn't open until 7. But yeah. So the show started actually like at 8 or something.
Yeah, it was like 8:30, somewhere around there.
Yeah. So yeah, it was just Nita Strauss and Mammoth WVH.
Yeah. And as we were waiting in line, almost in the building, my aunt and uncle saw me from across the street. They were coming out of the fountain, the restaurant, and
not an actual fountain. That would be
exactly
mysterious, yes. And messy.
Yes, yes. But the restaurant, and screamed my name from across the street.
And, man, It's so weird to go out in public with you. Like, people just shout your name from anywhere and everywhere. You're just like, what the hell? Yeah. What is going on here?
Exactly. Yeah. So we, they said, oh, you saved us a spot in line. And I'm like, yeah, probably not.
Yeah, the people behind
us. Go to the back with everyone else.
Yeah, behind us were actually okay with it. They're like, oh, yeah, it's fine. They're like, no, we'll go to the back. It's fine.
And they got in the building like right before it started too. It took forever. Yeah.
Yeah. So Nita Strauss came out and it was awesome because she comes out to, they played an instrumental song and she's intimidating. Like she's really kind of got some like scary faces that she puts on when she's performing. She's just very intense.
Yes.
And into her performing. I loved it. It's just awesome. But like, it's very like she's possessed. Like she's like,
yeah. When she's playing the guitar, it's a part of her.
Yeah.
So she's phenomenal. And it was awesome watching her do her thing.
I love the way that they did their set too, because you know, she's obviously a guitarist and that's what she's known for. And so they came out and they played a couple of instrumental songs right off the bat where she got to feature herself playing some badass solos, you know, doing some just kick-ass riffs. And the band sounded great too. They were very tight. The only thing, so like after that, they brought in a guest singer.
Yes. Her name is Casey Carlson.
Okay.
From the band Deadlands.
Okay. And so nothing against her. I mean, she did a great job as to what she could do, you know, with her voice, but like Nita Strauss, her album features songs that are sung by some fantastic vocalists. You have Dorothy, Lizzie Hale, David Draymond, Chris Motionless, Alyssa White Glues, I don't know what's her name, but she's a phenomenal singer as well. and the singer of In Flames. And so like, you know, she did a great job, but she's no Lizzie Hale. She's no Dorothy, obviously. And so like she did as best as she could, but those are some big songs for anyone to sing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she did her thing and I'm pretty sure she's from Long Island, New York. Which speaking of Long Island, New York, there's a special guest in the green room and that would be one Mick Foley of WWE Hall of Famer fame.
Yeah, Anita shouted him out in between songs, and like he didn't look like he wanted the, you know, the attention.
He didn't want the spotlight.
Like, oh no.
What was he even doing in St. Louis, I wonder?
I don't know why he was in St. Louis, other than this was the first night of the second leg of the tour. But I know that he's very good friends with Nita Strauss.
It's funny how many rockers are friends with wrestlers.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense. Like a lot of wrestler songs are featured, you know, by rock artists. But like
I've said for a long time, there's a huge overlap between those two worlds.
Rock and wrestling. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Anita has a really good relationship with WWE. She's performed some of the entrance themes live. I think she did a Shinsuke Nakamura entrance once. But yeah, she has a good relationship with Triple H and WWE and Mick Foley. So
now, the one thing I want to just kind of say is like, I'm not trying to take away from what the singer was doing. She did a great job. It was a great performance. And like Nita was on it. Like, you know, and that was the thing is that the show is supposed to be about Nita anyway. It's her band. And so like that's, I just love the whole dynamic of it. I think that, you know, having Nita kind of front and center being the star, obviously it's her band and just riffing, you know, soloing and just taking the spotlight. But they're all were really good in their own right.
Yeah, she had a female keyboardist with really long hair that was funny watching. Yeah, it was funny watching them because they were just headbanging the entire time. Like whenever they did the instrumental songs, they're just like you think that they'd fall over from headbanging so much.
Yeah, that's what I was getting dizzy watching them.
Yeah. At one point, towards the end of the set, Nita did this weird, like, Terminator gun, like, move with her guitar and, like, flipped it completely over. It was kind of crazy.
It was entertaining, to say the least. And then we had Mammoth take the stage right after that. And you know, that was the other thing I really liked. Is like, I think because of the delay, like there was not a lot of time in between sets. Like they pretty much were, they, you know, they got the band off the stage, they got all their equipment off, they got Mammoth up there ready to go. It was maybe 15 to 20 minutes.
Yeah, it was quick.
In between. It was, that was nice. Because he played for a long time.
He did. I don't know how many songs. We could look it up on Setlist FM, but he played forever.
I appreciate it because there's only two acts, and so you want to feel like you got your money's worth in that situation. But yeah, I think it was like an hour and 15 minute set.
Yeah, it was something like that. Yeah,
it was incredible. You know, one of the things I truly appreciate about seeing him live is that he is just like the lead singer of Black Stone Cherry. Like he has such a Mammoth has such a great voice live. I think actually his voice sounds better live than singing anyway than on the record.
I agree. And the band that he has with him, man, the drummer was out of this world. But
yeah, which yeah. I was really kind of surprised. Like, you know, he also seems to really rely on his band too, because he talks about how he was excited that they, you know, were all kind of full and back and forth again. And he talked about a couple of times where they weren't able to play with some of the members. And so they had to like kind of cut songs out and redo how they played some songs because of, you know, needing everybody in the band to perform their songs.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, I went to Setlist FM to look up how many songs they played because now I was curious. It was 15 total. And there is a note at the bottom saying that their regular guitarist, Frank Sidoras, missed the show because he was on tour with Slash.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He so, did. To your point about having to kind of makeshift a band at some points.
Well, so he did reference the Slash thing, and he's like, we can't tell him no, you know.
Yeah, right. Right.
It's fucking Slash.
Right.
But
okay, my dad was Eddie Van Halen.
Right, right.
But I'm still currently not at that level. It's Slash. Yeah. He was at that level. All right, I get it.
Okay. At one point, he played an acoustic song, and he said the reason why they did this initially was it was when they only had three members up on stage for a couple shows, and they called it the Mammoth 182 shows. So
yeah, and so he said one of the things that came out of that was that everybody loved the acoustic version of The Distance so much that he just decided to continue doing that. And I had to admit, like, that was one of my favorite parts of the set. And it's not just because, like, I don't necessarily like acoustic songs. I find them a little bit boring sometimes, but one of the things I loved about that one in particular is, for one, he said that he wrote that as an acoustic song, so it just sounded better, it's, you know, as it's originally written. His voice was stellar in that song.
Yeah.
The other thing is like, it's a song that he wrote about his dad. And it's just like, you posted that video and I ended up watching it with my sons, and I'm just sitting there like bawling as I'm like watching it with my boys, because like, it's just a very powerful song, and it putting the acoustic and his emotions behind it just made it even more powerful.
Yeah.
I think it was the first song that he released.
Yeah.
Was not long after his dad's passing, even.
Exactly.
And that's a special one for him, and so it makes sense that he would give it a special treatment.
Yeah,
his banter up on stage was great, because they referenced, you know, this was the first show of the second leg of the tour, and it was the longest break that they've had between tours. So he'd play a couple songs. He's like, "Hey guys, you guys enjoying the show? You guys feeling good out there? We're not making that many mistakes, are we?" And then you know, the crowd was packed in that place. Honestly, Red Flag I think was too small of a venue for this show.
Yeah.
Because the people were jam-packed in that sucker, and
It should have been like more of a pageant or factory show.
Yeah, I think the factory would have been ideal, but yeah, his banter up on stage was hilarious. So
I didn't know he was such a funny dude. And I can't even think of like anything he said, to be honest, but he's very clever.
When he put the acoustic guitar on, he's like, "All right, I'm gonna play this song for you, and here we go." And then he's, "Today is gonna be the day."
He's no, like, you gotta say, and maybe he did. You gotta say anyway. Here's Wonderwall.
No, he didn't. He didn't do that. He's just like, all right, I'm gonna play you. I'm gonna play you one of my hits or whatever. Right. However he phrased it, and then he started doing Wonderwall, and he's like, I'm sorry, I had to. So he was
that feeling, is a good bit.
He was feeling it, and man, it was awesome watching him do his thing.
Yeah, it was an entertaining concert. Like he was, like you said, feeling it with the guitar, feeling it with his voice. Like it was just incredible, and the band was too. This was one of the few concerts that I've been to recently where like they actually went around, and then both bands actually like kind of went around doing like solos and introducing every member.
Yeah,
and it's kind of a lost art nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the solo, so to speak.
Right, and both Nita and Mammoth are kind of a throwback in that regard. So that was fun watching them do their thing.
Yeah, because like the only band that I remember doing stuff like that. Well, I mean, we saw Gio and Black Sun Cherry recently in November, and they kind of did that too. But like other than, you know, those kind of type of those southern rock style bands, there's really, I mean, everybody's so digital that they don't do the solos and stuff. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but who knows?
Yeah.
It's food for thought.
Right.
But this tour is still ongoing. If it comes nearby, I definitely recommend seeing. It was great. If you're a fan of guitars and solos and you know, both either one of those artists, like I definitely recommend going to check them out.
Agreed.
They seem like such a natural pairing. I was just thinking about that right now. Like what? Yeah. Like that's a quality duo, right there.
It is, and if you love shredding guitar,
yeah,
definitely need to check this show out. Because man, when Mammoth finished it with Take a Bow, which was perfect ending song, and just went on this massive solo at the end of it.
Yeah, and you can definitely tell he is his father's son. Like he loves that fretboard, man.
Yeah, it was an awesome show to watch, and I was, even though we just got back from Shiprock like 2 weeks before, I drugged Dan along to see that show because we had to check these two off the list. We've been wanting to see them for so long.
Yeah,
I'm glad y'all got to do that.
It's funny. I got to go through my phone and like start organizing my band pictures so that I can actually figure out like who I have seen live now.
Yeah.
And start cataloging all that. Cause I always try to take like one picture of the band, and usually like, hopefully there's a banner. Like otherwise I'll try to like name the band.
Who's that?
Otherwise, like I've had to go back to pictures and they're like blurry as hell. I'm like, I don't even know who this is. I gotta go by like by the date and just look it up. Like, who was playing in concert this date?
Hey, you know what? We do have documentation for the past 4 years of bands that you have seen live. You can find almost 100% of them in old Itch episodes, if nothing else.
Yeah,
that's true.
I keep mine on Setlist, and it has served me well. I don't know the exact tally, but I found it's at least 200 unique bands that I've seen live.
That's nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, I would love to be able to figure that out, but man, it's you're talking about 25 years worth of concerts or something like that.
Yeah.
I just added one last, like, a week or two ago that randomly popped into my brain from, like, when I was a teenager, and I found it, and I was like, yes, another one added. I love it when that happens. Anytime that happens, I'm like, do I have this marked down in the catalog? I got to make sure it's on the list.
I thought about like going through a concert calendar from like when I was 13 on. Just like, oh, yep, that was at that show. Yep.
Was I there? That show.
Well, and especially if you go just by bands alone, for Aaron specifically, you've gone to multiple festivals in the last year and a half.
Gone to multiple festivals, saw one band 3 days in a row. Like, POD had the top spot on my most seen band lists for years because I saw them a ton in high school. Like, and now there's a whole bunch of bands like climbing up like right on their tail because we've seen so many shows and festivals and things like that over the past couple of years.
Yeah, right. I didn't think that anybody would ever come close to my Breaking Benjamin record. I think it's like Breaking Benjamin probably is number one. I'd say Chevelle is probably number two, and then like Seether three or so.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, Chevelle's very high on mine too.
I never thought anybody would come close, and here we are. I've seen like Eva six times in the last like 3 years or so.
Right, yeah, it's exactly that.
I've seen Bad Flower like six times in the last 3 years. Like,
yeah, yeah,
it's exactly that.
Yeah.
So yeah.
All right.
More to come.
Yes. Yes. Hopefully, a lot more.
Yeah.
Well, you know, since. As a reward, since we put you through a marathon episode last week with part two or two and a half or three of our Shiprock coverage, this one's going to be a little shorter than normal. I feel like y'all deserve that break. and I feel like we deserve that break.
Yeah.
So yeah. Even though we put two topics in this, we still kept it to one of the shorter episodes in recent memory. So it can be done.
It's hard to believe, that's for sure.
Big things coming up. Got some cool interviews, some cool ideas. Do not forget to get out there and vote for March Madness if you're listening to this within the immediate future of its release. And stay tuned to see who wins.
Yeah, and this is just like a precursor to November. This is just a practice run. You gotta start voting now so that you can vote when it matters.
Oh, I actually somehow didn't expect it to go there. Yeah.
One would argue that this vote matters more.
It's certainly a lot more fun options. I'll tell you that much.
It's going to be a much better choices in this one. That's for sure. Right.
No matter who you vote for in March Madness, we all win. I think it might be the opposite in other selections.
And younger choices, too. Definitely younger.
You can even vote for people from Canada.
It's true.
And the UK.
And the UK.
Hey, you don't even have to be citizens. Yeah. Perfect.
So thank you very much for listening to the Itch Podcast. My name is Dan.
I'm Casey.
And I'm Aaron.
Until next time, get out and vote. For us. Nobody else gives a shit about the other stuff. Just vote for us.
If you enjoyed what you heard in this episode, please subscribe and tell a friend about the Itch.
Check out the show notes for links about the episode, as well as our new music playlist and where you can hear us every Sunday night.
And you can interact with us at itchrocks.com or on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Gmail, all at itchrocks, I-T-C-H-R-O-C-K-S.